Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalypse Podcast. I'm Steve. He is...
Reverend Dr. Lawrence Van Beek.
Which said with reverence, with an air of authority.
Yeah, well, it's because we're doing a chapter that everybody knows so very well, if they read their Bible. So probably nobody. none of our listeners. But I know that one of our listeners knows this chapter very well. So,
good deal.
So I wanted to state all of my credentials before I completely muff this thing. And
I'm sure you're going to do fine, my friend. We are talking about Hebrews 11, folks. It is the faith chapter, as we, I think we know it as simply the faith chapter, don't we? We often talk
about everybody that I know of knows it as the faith chapter as well. Same as you, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't call
because it has to do with faith.
Huh.
Yeah.
So is that's the correlation, eh? Oh.
I think so. Like the title on ours is by faith. That's all they say, by faith.
Huh.
No. Well, that's... Not by faith.
So without further ado, I guess we should just simply jump right in because it is all about faith. It's pretty obvious what we're going to talk about. And Larry's going to just lead us through some of the great parts of it. We'll hit it right up at verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things that are visible.
So the first part here is the part that everybody knows. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is believing in something that you don't see, that you don't necessarily see. Hmm. That's faith. That's what faith is, right? You know, remember faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love?
Right.
Now, this is faith is the thing hoped for, but of course. But by faith, this is kind of neat. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So it was made out of things. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible, right? And I was teaching a course once, and I said, it's by faith. I was actually teaching it on this, that we know that the world was created by God. It's not through things that we can scientifically prove, but it's really by faith, right? And it was a Baptist church, and they were very angry at me because, of course, they have their creation scientists and others.
Yes.
And they believe that you can actually prove the existence of God and the universe through the things that you can scientifically see and prove. Now, I disagree with that. I really think that there is a God, and that God created the world is strictly by faith.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something. You know, like the atheists have their Big Bang. Actually, there are Christians that believe in Big Bang too, right? And you know, other things about forming the world, but to believe that God was behind it all, that's the thing that takes faith. Right. Stephen Hawking in his book, you know, the Fundamentals of All Things. What is his book called?
I don't know. I've never read it.
Oh, that is terrible that we're both sitting here can't remember his book.
Yeah.
But anyway, in his book, he said, you know, any nunnel will just say, and what was before that, Stephen? And what was before that, Stephen? And what was before that, Stephen? And when you come to a place where you can't answer, they go, and that was God.
Yeah.
And he says, and, you know, you can't really argue it because you believe it by faith.
Yeah.
There's lots of things that we see that make us think this had to be done by you know, this had to be intelligent design, which is the new the new word. You don't want to say creation, you say intelligent design. This had to be through an intelligent design. But actual proof, the author of Hebrews says, that's faith.
Yeah.
And I choose to believe that God created the world.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Much like our own faith in God is simply us choosing to recognize him as God, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Picking that up at verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, not condemned, Wow. Commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts. Through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith.
Okay, stop there. We better do these guys one at a time.
Yeah.
So then the next person, of course, first of all, the world was created. Then Cain's, Abel's offering was more acceptable than Cain. And the thing that you want to point out there is there are those who say that it's because Cain offered vegetables and Abel offered meat, right? Because, okay. And actually, if you read the notes in your NIV Bible, even they will say, it doesn't appear to be that. It appears to be what this author says, that Abel offered his with faith and Cain didn't. And actually, Abel probably offered the best of his stuff, and there's a suggestion that Cain didn't, but it's not strong enough to say that.
Right.
And that's where God says sin is crouching at the door.
Yeah.
You know, like a tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, I... For the folks, you didn't get to see that, but Larry actually acted out the tiger.
I didn't realize I was. Yeah, it's sort of like a spiral staircase. So anyway, so and then Cain, of course, kills his brother and goes off into the land of Nob, right?
Right.
Where he finds all kinds of people, which throws us off as well, where all those people came from.
Yeah.
But, there's got to be faith somewhere in that chapter. But there was.
That's a different podcast.
totally different podcast. So then we go on to Enoch as the next guy.
Okay. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
Yeah, so Enoch is our guy, right? Enoch, remember, all of the books are Enoch are named after Enoch. They weren't written by Enoch. They were written centuries and centuries later. Mm-hmm. But Enoch was the guy who walked with God and was not, for God took him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And interesting thing about Enoch, when Noah was born, if you read it, I think it's in Jubilees, when Noah was born, Lamech, Noah's father, said, I think my wife's been sleeping with the angels. And Lamech asked Methuselah. Methuselah was his dad, mm-hmm. right? He says, I think my son, because my son Noah is so strange. There's something weird about him. I don't know what's going on with him. And Methuselah says to Lamech, well, why don't you ask Enoch? Because he walks with the angels. He knows that kind of stuff. And so he goes and asks Enoch, and he says, no, Enoch is your son, but he's very special. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's that strangeness about him. Mm-hmm. Kind of a neat story.
Yeah.
But Enoch walked with God. My father-in-law always tells a story. He says Enoch was walking along with God, and they were just walking, and God says, we're so close to my house. Why don't we just go to my house tonight? And Enoch said, sure. And I like the story.
It's kind of homey, right? Like, it's got a nice homey, prairie type feel to it almost, right? Like, yeah.
Well, there you go. He's a prairie pastor, so
that works out nice.
So that's Enoch anyway. Yeah. And then, of course, the important thing in this part as well is you can't please God unless you have faith.
Right.
And so you need to have that kind of faith.
Yeah.
And the next guy's Noah, of course, and stuff. Yeah.
So picking it up at verse 7, folks. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith.
Yeah, and so Noah, of course, built the ark. And did it. They often talk about it taking over 100 years to build the thing, but I don't know. I don't know what's true and false about that. We do, and there's people that believe it landed on Mount Ararat.
Yep.
And that takes us into the whole argument of whether it was a local flood or a universal flood.
Right.
And most of us, I can accept either. I'm comfortable with either a local flood or a universal flood. The important thing was it killed all of the people of that place in that time.
Yeah.
And Noah and his and the eight lived, right?
Right.
And then we get to Abraham, and he is, of course, the most important patriarch in the Bible is always Abraham.
Yes.
The children of Israel never say we're sons of Noah. They always say we're sons of Abraham.
Yeah. By faith, Abraham, obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going. And he went out not knowing where he was going, sorry. By faith, he went to live...
Dementia. He had dementia. He was fairly...
Yeah. Where am I going?
Where am I going?
Yeah. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore.
So most people think that Abram received the promise when he was 75 years old.
Hmm.
And that's why Sarah laughed, right?
Right.
And there's those that think that God judged her for that, but no. I mean, there's nothing actually in Scripture to suggest that. But Abraham was 75, and they also think that he was 90 before it actually happened. So okay. It was in his 90s, so it was over 15 years. Okay. Between the time of the promise and the time of the fulfillment of the promise.
Yeah.
And hence he took on his other son during that time.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name?
Ishmael.
Ishmael. My name is Ishmael, but that's a Chaim Potok book, and that's a different story again.
nice reference. Yeah. Well done.
Actually, my name is Ishmael isn't that the first line of Moby Dick?
Yeah,
or is my name Absalom in Moby Dick?
I can't remember. That's interesting.
Oh, you got to look it up while I keep talking about this. Look up first line of Moby Dick.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you can't take it away. I won't know what to say anymore. So anyway, so Abraham has the child. So that's Abraham's whole journey is a journey of, yeah, call me Ishmael. So it's not Chaim Potok, but Ishmael is in Chaim Potok as well. But it's the first line of Moby Dick. Oh, my vast literary knowledge.
Oh.
Letting me down yet again.
It's not just a simple man of knowledge. He's a complex man of knowledge.
Yes. Yeah, because the knowledge actually doesn't fit anywhere. Actually, if you want to read a really good book, Chaim Potok's, his book, it's the two boys grow up together, and it's the use of the term Abba that impresses me.
Mm-hmm.
It's so natural. That's just saying daddy. And remember, Abba is important in Scripture as well.
Exactly.
But anyway, so he's gone on to this new land. Abraham, remember, he came out of the land of Ur.
Yeah.
And he's going to the Chaldees. And notice it says that that Isaac and Jacob were heirs of the same promise with him. And they were looking forward to that foundation. And so he was told he was going to have descendants as innumerable as the sand of the sea. And he did.
Yeah.
Over time, right?
Yeah.
But he was in his 90s before he had his first child.
Wow.
He did have other children after Sarah with Keturah as well, right?
That's right. Yeah.
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 So we're hoping they had more strength then than we do now, because you know you're in your 90s, you're pretty tired. Okay.
13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared for them a city.
So the city that we're waiting for, the city that Abraham saw, was not Canaan. The city was in heaven.
Right.
Right. And the final fulfillment of this is going to be through Jesus, that all these people are waiting.
Right.
And so all the incredible things that happened to them through faith is still leading up to Jesus.
Yeah. 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones.
Keep going if you want.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for which he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them.
That's something. So Abraham, again, Abraham, by faith, he was willing to offer up his son. Remember, we talked about that in another podcast, right?
Right.
Where we said Abraham was actually a man of his time. And to offer up your son would not have been unusual in his time in the land that he lived in. So even though for us it's an utterly horrific act, and it probably was for him too because it's his son.
Right.
He was a person of his time. So to give up his son to a god wouldn't have been unusual. But this throws in a little interpretation by the author of Hebrews, mm-hmm. where he says Abraham felt that he would get him back if he offered him up, which is interesting, right?
Yeah.
And that kind of thing came bubbling up through the intertestamental literature.
Okay.
So that's what he's picking up on there, and probably it's true. Well, you know, it's in the scripture, so we usually like to say it's true.
But we don't get that from the Genesis account. That's
but we do not get it from the Genesis account. That's right. Yeah, we only get it here, right?
Yeah.
And then I like that Isaac then later on invoked a blessing on Jacob and Esau. His blessing on Esau was kind of it wasn't best. It wasn't the best. Esau was my favorite guy too. I always liked Esau better than Jacob.
Yeah.
I got to be careful because God liked Jacob. So, you know, you don't want to go against the one that God liked.
But Jacob was kind of a weasel though, right?
He was a mama's boy and a complete weasel. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and Esau was a man's man.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always liked him. Of course, he gave up his rights for a bowl of soup. But you know,
yeah, not every decision we make is good. You know, we are men after all.
I hope it was a mighty fine soup. Yeah. But Jacob, when he was dying, then he blessed the sons of Joseph, and then it talks about Moses and the faith of his parents, remember, hiding him.
Yeah.
When Pharaoh wanted to kill the children, they hid him in a basket. Remember the whole story in the river, and Pharaoh's daughter finds him. And he actually gets raised by his own mother, who gets paid to raise him, which is a fantastic story.
Yeah, isn't it?
But he was raised as Pharaoh's child. And if you've ever watched probably the best movie I've ever seen on Moses, I didn't watch the new one. I just couldn't bring myself to watch the new Moses movie. But the one by Steven Spielberg, is it Spielberg? Did a movie on Moses. It's an animation,
right?
And it is just fantastic. It's so well done. Yep. Has some great songs in it too.
The Prince of Egypt. I think that's what it was called, right?
Prince of Egypt. Yeah, it was called Prince of Egypt. And anyway, so but here's the thing: is he chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. In some versions, the pleasures of sin for a season, right? And so the pleasures of sin would have been to stay in his place in Egypt,
right?
But he chose to put up with the people that actually didn't like him at all.
Yeah,
and he led them, and they were horrible people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were like us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And anyway, so then. So Moses then did that, and then we get down to 20, and then of course the Passover and the destroyer comes, and Moses is the leader through all of that, and this is a very strong, faithful thing. Remember, Abraham is the only guy in Scripture, to be known as God's friend. And it was by his faith that he was known as God's friend. And I always say, because he gave up his own son, which God did as well. You know, like to say that, you know, you can ask of your friends what you can ask of yourself. And God could do that with Abraham. Moses then is the only person to have ever seen God face to face. As it says, he spoke to God face to face. Because it always says, if you see God, you die, right?
Right.
And there's that thing about him seeing his hinder parts and all that. But Moses did have that kind of faith as well. Yeah. And then you get down, did we already do the dry land? No, 29. No,
all right, so picking up at 29 then, folks. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days.
Keep walking, but you won't knock down our walls. Keep walking, but they're never going to fall. what is it on the wall? Are they the peas? Are they peas on the wall?
I can't remember how they did that in VeggieTales. But yeah, no, I can't remember. But yeah, that was awesome.
I'm sorry for no, singing my song.
That was good. 31 then. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies.
We've got to just push through that
one. Power right through that.
Power through it. So anyway, so of course, you know, so the walls of Jericho fall. There's actually a book about angels, which I don't like at all, but they did say to this guy's talking to the angels, and he says, what did you enjoy the most? They said, knocking down the walls of Jericho. We really enjoyed that. So I like that. And Abraham, of course, Rahab, of course, was the lady who hid the spies.
Right.
They used to, the walls in the on these cities were so wide that you could ride chariots around the top, I'm told.
Okay.
And people actually lived in the walls. So you kind of built your houses all together to form a wall.
Right.
And she was, remember, she lowered the spies down.
Yeah.
And she used the red cloth that she hung outside their wall. And I don't know, I don't believe it necessarily, but there are those who say that when you see this in the archaeology, there will be one piece of wall that was never knocked down. That was Rahab's piece. But I don't think there's any way we can know that.
No.
And she hung out the red silk or whatever it was, so that they would know where Rahab was. And she was. Rahab was the one who survived. And she really was. She was a prostitute in the land of that was Jericho, right? That she was in. So she was in Canaan, and she is actually in the lineage of Jesus.
That's right. I was thinking that. Yeah.
So she was Boaz's mother, I think.
Yeah. What a great story.
Or it's a fantastic story. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a story that needs to be written by someone that writes better than I do.
Yeah. Okay. 32. And what more shall we say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson,
Jephthah.
I wouldn't have gotten that from that. Of David and Samuel and the prophets, through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured.
Stop there just for a second.
Yeah,
so women received back their dead by resurrection. So the reason I stopped you is because he's going to switch right now. The author's going to switch. So Gideon, of course, with the 300.
Yep.
Remember, did his thing. You know, that was the fleece.
Yep.
Pentecostals used to believe in that stuff. We would lay out a fleece before God. God, if you do this, then I'll know I'm supposed to do something for you.
Okay.
Yeah. And I believe God answered some of the old Pentecostals that way. I can't remember what Barak did. Wasn't Barak the one, and it was the woman that got the, she actually mentioned Barak, but it was a woman that got the thing for the battle.
Oh, yeah, did she, like, kill the guy with a tent peg? Isn't that who?
Yeah, she drove. Yeah, she was a woman.
Yeah.
it was Deborah. Deborah said, would you go to battle? And he said, oh, not unless you guide me in this thing. And she says, I will. I'll come. But then a woman will get the honor for the winning the battle.
Right.
And the king goes into her tent. She has him fall asleep and then drives a tent peg right through his head.
Yeah.
I'm glad she didn't do it through his heart, or that would have, you know, been the vampire stories all over
again. That's right.
Yeah. And then Samson, of course, we know Samson. It's the one of the most difficult stories in scripture, and every kid knows it.
Yep.
Jephthah is the one. He was actually really wise, and they call him the foolish judge, because he said, if you give me this battle, the first thing that comes through my door, that comes out of my door to greet me when I come home, I will sacrifice to you.
Yeah.
And of course, he's expecting one of his animals, and it's his daughter comes.
Right.
And so then she goes away for a year to mourn her virginity. And some say, well, she just never married, but most people will say, no, he sacrificed her.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he did. I don't know. The scripture never says.
Right.
And I like to think that he didn't, but it certainly suggests that he did.
Yeah. They took
David, of course, you know, huh? Yeah,
they took their oath seriously, right? So
they did. They really did. And then David and Samuel and the prophets. Now you can go back and read 36.
Yep. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in the skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the whole world was not, or whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So he starts, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. You keep going.
No, because he starts with the patriarchs, you know, the great people of faith of old, all the amazing things that God does. And then the author finishes with these stories, which we think are from the Maccabean period. Mm-hmm. They're out of Maccabees, right? Okay. And they're the ones that are tortured. And mocked and flogged and chained and stoned, and all of the prophets, many of the prophets were stoned or sawn in two or killed with the sword as well.
Right.
So it's not just the Maccabean period, but it's also that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But there were those times, and so when you think of serving God, like people that do the faith thing, they read those first things and they talk about, you know, the great things that happened to Abraham and those guys. But they rarely go to the tortures and refusing release.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And even the disciples were tortured.
Right.
Right. And remember they came out from the Sanhedrin and they said, we can't find anything wrong with them, just whip them and let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out thanking God that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his namesake.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, I can go as far as maybe mocked. And then that's it for me.
Yeah.
I'm not doing the rest.
I'm good. Yeah. Well, I thought when it said, what was it there? When it was, others suffered mocking and flogging. I said, oh, there was registrars back then as well. So,
So mocking is the, one's IT and one's registrar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interchangeable.
Well, change and imprisonment. That's the IT guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But amazing, eh? Because there's a part of me that feels like good things should happen to me because I serve God.
Right.
I kind of think that, you know?
Yeah.
And it hasn't always, it's not always the case for everybody.
Yeah.
The book of Revelation.
Yeah. It's not a one-to-one relationship, is it?
No. No. And there's something about eternity that this thing is weighed against.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... That right. breaks my heart, that one actually does.
Yeah.
Even, Steve, we're living in a time when there's Christians all over the world suffering and dying for their faith.
Yeah. Yeah. And we live in North America
where the most we get is people don't want to talk to us.
Yeah. 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 They looked at me funny. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's enough. That's enough for us.
Yeah. Verse 39. All these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect.
And the thing that's better here is Jesus, of course.
Yeah.
Like all of this happened to all of these people, but they were always looking ahead to the coming of Jesus.
Yeah.
And the thing that we're going to get for our faith is actually future to us as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said,
you gotta stop doing these things, Steve.
Yeah. These are for other people. But like you just said in that previous paragraph, right? You know, we'd like to be blessed for doing the right things, just because. And God has said, no, that's for a future kingdom, a future time, a future place.
Yeah, and it can be. I mean, he blesses some Christians financially and, beyond their wildest dreams. Yeah. And others he doesn't.
Yeah.
And people think that means God's not God.
Yeah.
But it just means that we're his children and we do what he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. By choice. We still have to choose it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still want to be immensely wealthy.
You've tested me with a little money, Lord. How about testing me with a whole lot of money?
Just really put me to the test here. Yeah.
Oh.
There was a time, Steve, and it was actually when I was at Trinity that I felt like, you know, life is so easy and finances were good. And I was like, I really want to trust God.
Yeah.
And then I've had all these years since Trinity. And I was like, I really liked it back then, like, when things were easy.
Well, it's so true, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But looking at the whole world around me, I still have it super easy.
Yeah.
You know, I can talk to my wife every day. I can go see her a few times a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing, really.
But it's hard to move through these parts that we think, compared to somebody else, seem hard.
Yeah.
But that's only comparing. Well,
the Christians and the Jews in the Second World War, there were Christians dying in those concentration camps.
Yeah.
You know, it was Jewish people with Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians were there. Remember, Corrie ten Boom and them were there. They were dying there as well. Her sister died.
Yeah.
She said she could have just killed them with her bare hands after her sister died.
Yeah.
And then later on in life, she changed on that. But I don't know that I'd ever change, Steve. I don't know if I could.
Yeah.
That's a spiritual thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's the faith chapter, man.
Well, my friend, that was fantastic. Thank you for doing that. Folks, Larry said, we accept these things that are unseen. So to that end, I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. We'll be back in 7 days' time with another edition of the Apocalyptic Podcast. For Larry, I'm Steve. This is it.